Greg Regstraw from the ISC Sports Network joins us. Greg, how you doing on this lovely Friday?
I'm good, Grant. How are you?
Pretty good. So boys basketball semi-state, it's finally here, and we've got some great matchups across the state. In 4A, you've got Penn taking on Carmel. In the South, you got Ben Davis taking on Center Grove. Both these matchups expected to be good, and the MIC Conference now guaranteed a berth in the state finals for the third year in a row.
Yeah, it's not surprising. And frankly, you know, there used to be some level of debate as far as what the best basketball conference was in the state. Say before LC and Pike joined the MIC, you know, some 5 or 6 years ago, because those two, especially Pike, was outstanding. Bloomington South was kind of in their heyday. Columbus North was better than they are now. And so you could legitimately have a debate whether it was the MIC or Conference Indiana that was the best basketball league up until about 5 or 6 years ago. But now we are getting to the point where the MIC is every bit as good in basketball as it is in football. And I think the best example of that was a stat that I put together the last time I saw the Giants play, which was their win against Cathedral back on February the 15th. And it was that, you know, Ben Davis had 7 losses on the season, but all of them were to teams ranked the top 12 in the state of Indiana. And the majority of those were schools they had played in conference play. So obviously we had an all-MIC final last year. I would expect there to be an all-MIC final this year. That's not to say that Carmel is going to cakewalk past 10, far from it. But at the same time, I do think in that game in Lafayette, you can at least say, hey, Carmel is the favorite. I don't think there's anything close to a favorite than Davis Center Grove. I think those two teams, I think that's a completely dead even game tomorrow.
And obviously Center Grove came in here in January and beat the Giants by 9, I believe it was. But again, Ben Davis, a team who fell to LC by 15 earlier in the regular season in December. They come out and beat them by 10 in the regional. So really anything can happen here in the state tournament, Greg.
It does, and I do think there are mitigating circumstances for Ben Davis. I thought that they were poor at any point in time this year. But because of DeJuan Jones kind of dealing with, you know, football versus basketball and kind of the football recruiting scene, I think he's a better player in February than he was in January or before. I think Jalen Windham has kicked into gear as the season has gone along. Again, I'll reference back the last time I saw the Giants play a month ago against Cathedral, and he was fantastic that night, and I think has kept that going. And I do think there's an adjustment period when you go from Mark James to Don Carlisle. And even when you have a senior-laden team, it's one thing when you go from an assistant, a former assistant, to being the head coach. That assistant coach has a better understanding of the players of kind of the system. Obviously, Don is a tremendous coach, but having not been coaching in the Ben Davis system, it took a while for this group to kind of figure each other out. Obviously, now they have. So again, even with it being a 9-point game last time they got together, I don't think it's anything close to a 9-point game this time around.
And, you know, you mentioned the coaching change, obviously, two maybe kind of different coaching styles, getting to know the players. And Coach Carlisle, and we have a weekly sit-down with him, he mentioned a couple of weeks ago that he thought that Carmel game there at the end of January really turned their season around. And when you look at it, it really has one loss since then. And, you know, he referenced back to his days as a player when they went back-to-back state titles. He mentioned the Carmel game as being a turning point in their season. So definitely something to look forward to here with the Giants and Center Grove tomorrow. Greg Regstraw, the ISC Sports Network, joins us. Greg, you're on the call tomorrow down in Seymour for the Class 2 and Class 3A matchups. We're kind of salty here at Ben Davis that we didn't get the Seymour location, but nevertheless, you got some two great matchups on your hand at 1 o'clock. Shenandoah taking on Linton. And then at 3 o'clock for the 3A game, you got Crispus Attucks taking on Silver Creek. Talk about those two matchups, what you expect to see with those four basketball teams.
I will here in a second, but I will tell you this. I realize that Washington is a further drive for everybody in the Indianapolis area. I get that. But the venue you guys are going to is tremendous. The Hatchet House is really an Indiana basketball cathedral. And it's a little bit quicker to get there than it used to be with the advent of I-69 from Parkersville South. So I know it's a little bit of a longer drive. You're going to love the place you're going to tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And Bob's Pizzeria is the place to eat when you're down there. Just, you know, take it from a guy that's been there. That, you know, before or after the game, that's the place to go. Now, as far as Seymour is concerned, Shenandoah and Linton Stockton, I think, are two very similar teams. These are two teams from a margin of victory standpoint that are amongst the best in the state. In fact, they're fourth and fifth. Both are beating their opponents by about 20 to 25 points per contest. From an overall point scored standpoint, Lynn Stockton scores a few more. They allow a few more. I thought the 2A bracket was about as wide open as any of the four classes, just because I thought there was so little difference in, say, the top 10 teams. They didn't really move that much in the rankings all year, but they were all really good. So Linton Stockton has a bit more size. Shenandoah is a team that both these teams are so exceedingly well coached. Shenandoah is coached by Dave McCullough, who's the former coach at Noblesville. He is eighth amongst active coaches in career wins with 550-plus. He has never appeared in a state championship game. And this, you want to say it might be their best chance. The Shenandoah team's actually probably a year or two ahead of schedule. They've been good all 4 years he's been there. They really play up their seven-man rotation, two seniors. Their top players are all sophomores. So if they don't make it this year, they do have a chance of making it in future years. Lincoln Stockton is led by Lincoln Hale, who is a sophomore, which is 18 points a game. He was hurt in the regional final last week, a back injury because of a tough ball. He expected to play tomorrow. I'm much like the way I feel about Ben Davis and Center Grove's way I feel about that game. I could see it going either direction. I think it's going to be very close between two good basketball teams. As far as the 3A game is concerned, I think Silver Creek enters as the favorite, but Attucks has played the much tougher schedule. Attucks, if you look at the Sagarin ratings, has played nine teams in the top 25 in the state. I'm not sure Silver Creek has played any. Now, they play in a good 3A league in the Mid-Southern Conference, and they play many of the top 4A teams in their area, like Jeffersonville and New Albany, but they don't play the schedule that Attucks does, where so many of Attucks' losses are to MIC teams, are to Ben Davis and Lawrence North and Lawrence Central during the course of the year. What stands out to me about Silver Creek Grant is the way they share the basketball. They're averaging 21 assists per game. In a 32-minute game, that is mind-boggling. I put it on Facebook yesterday to the Indiana High School basketball fans page saying, hey, help me out here. You know, in my memory, this is the most I remember a team that I've covered. A buddy of mine pointed out and said, what about that Wright team who made the state finals 4 years ago? And he was right, 24 assists a game. A friend of mine referenced a Columbus team from the mid-60s that was credited with 28 assists per game. Both those two teams averaged 92 points per contest. So Silver Creek has a height advantage. They go 6'5", 6'6", and 6'8". They really play, though, positionless basketball. So it's gonna be, I think, maybe the talent and size of Silver Creek versus the experience of Crispus Attucks, and that group knowing they were there 2 years ago, really only one or two players were kind of a key part of that team. So, again, I think it's kind of like Carmel and Penn, I said earlier. I can tell you who the favorite is in that game, and it would be Silver Creek, but I wouldn't stun me if Attucks comes out of Seymour for a second time in 3 years.
Greg Regstrahl, the ISC Sports Network. The final games in the final class that we haven't mentioned really in the South in Class 1A, Barrieve and Bloomfield down at Washington before Ben Davis and Center Grove. What do I have to look forward to when I head down there a little early to catch the 1A game?
5,000 maniacs for high school basketball. So Barrieve and Bloomfield, the combined enrollments of those two schools is about 550. But literally, every person in the town of Bloomfield and a good chunk of Greene County, every person in the eastern half of Davies County will be at that game. And so to Ben Davis and Center Grove fans that might be listening, get there at 3:00. Your game doesn't start till 6:00, and the first game's going to step off at 4:00. But if you want kind of a window into what small town Hoosier hysteria is, you've got it, and you've got a ticket for it. Doesn't cost you any extra to get there early compared to just getting there for the Ben Davis and Center Grove game. Barrieve has been the favorite to get back to the state championship this year. They were beat by Morristown last year, but most of the key pieces off of that Barrieve team that lost in the semi-state are coming back. They and Bloomfield are not the same conference. They're about 40 miles apart from each other, but they do play every year, and they play the last game of the regular season. And Barrieve won that game by about 10. So Barrieve is the favorite. And they are playing closer to home, but both teams are used to playing in the Hatchet House. So this is truly a home game for both of those teams. Bloomfield's 30 minutes from Washington. Barrieve is literally 7 miles down to US 50 from the Hatchet House. So the atmosphere will be insane. And so if you're a Ben Davis fan, get there early because you'll want to watch the first game too.
Will do, will do. Greg Regstraw, the ISC Sports Network, joins us. I want to shift gears a little bit to the NFL. Obviously, the league new year beginning on Wednesday, so we're kind of wrapping up that week. The Colts signed Devin Funches, a wide receiver, a one-year kind of prove-it deal worth up to $13 million. What do you make of this signing, and does this mean Dontrell Inman's kind of walking away from this Colts organization?
I'll answer your second question first. I believe so, because I think they will draft a receiver second day, third day. You've got Deion Kane. They put out a one-year tender offer to Chester Rogers. If you bring back a guy like Zach Pascal from a competition standpoint in camp, my guess would be Dontrell Inman is heading elsewhere. Now, again, if he's not signed by anybody else, could the Colts bring him back in camp or early in the season if they felt the need? Absolutely, they could. They're taking the same gamble on Funches that they did on Eric Ebron, and that is we see all of the raw material. He's still a young guy. Funches doesn't turn 25 until May. And thinking, okay, you see the athlete, you see the prospect, and we think that with our quarterback, our system, our coaching, and we're not asking to be the number one guy, you're asking to be the number two guy, that it can be successful. And what he does is brings a big, young, physical receiver, and the Indianapolis Colts have rarely had that. You know, they went big with Andre Johnson. By the time they got him here, there was nothing left when Andre came here in 2016. Before that, you have to go back to a guy that would be like a project, like a Roy Hall, and, you know, look the part, literally had no hands, and so, you know, couldn't catch a pass when he was here 10 years ago. Other than that, it's largely been more diminutive players and more speed guys and not exactly big guys lining up opposite a Marvin Harrison or a Reggie Wayne or then a T.Y. Hilton. So I like the move, and if it doesn't pan out, it means we can talk about the lack of financial risk. If it doesn't work out, that means that maybe you haven't significantly upgraded your wide receiving core in the fashion or manner in which you thought you did. But I think it's got the potential to be as successful as the Eric Ebron move was a year ago.
Greg Regstraw, the ISC Sports Network, joins us. Greg, the Big Ten tournament taking place is the final thing. I'll let you go here in just a few minutes. The Big Ten tournament taking place, Ohio State and Michigan State just tipped off a few minutes ago. Purdue plays later tonight. Does Purdue win the tournament? When you look at the bracket, I think, you know, the way it kind of panned out, they have maybe, you know, maybe one of the easier routes to the finals. Not that it's an easy route in the Big Ten. You saw Nebraska win yesterday. Is Purdue have a legitimate chance here in this Big Ten tournament?
Absolutely they do. My only question would be, I'm not sure what their motivation is. In other words, they've already achieved one of their big goals in terms of winning, you know, a share of the Big Ten regular season. I don't know how much their seed could bump up if they win the Big Ten tournament. I kind of think they're the 3 seed. If they lose today, maybe they drop to the 4 seed. But I'm not sure if winning would put them over a Michigan or a Michigan State. And so, could I see them winning it? Absolutely. Could I see them, frankly, bowing out tonight and you know, going, you know what, fellas, let's focus on next week? Because I really think the motivational carrot for Purdue is to get back to the Sweet 16 and then try to somehow get past it, which they haven't been able to do the last couple of years. And for as good of a story as this team is, they simply aren't as talented as those teams that couldn't get past the round of the Sweet 16 the last couple of years. So I think winning a share of the Big Ten Conference was a big deal to them. I'm not sure if winning the Big Ten Tournament is that big of a deal to them. So could they win it? Absolutely. My question is, what does it get them if they do win the Big Ten Tournament?
Hey, Greg, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again soon, and we always enjoy your insight on high school basketball. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you again sometime.
Anytime, my friend, and congratulations on all those awards. Keep piling them up, okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You got it, buddy.
Greg Regstraw, the ISC Sports Network.